Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, titled, Ye Who Sometimes Were Far Off Are Made Nigh. We have a full 50-minute study and special music on tap, so we will get right to the study after reminding you of our addresses so that you can write to us by email at bbbfohio@yahoo.com or by sending your letter to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. The email again is bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send your letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, titled, Ye Who Sometimes Were Far Off Are Made Nigh. This is part 1 of 2.
When first I came, I did not know of what the Savior did for me, but I have learned and know it so. What happened there at a place called Calvary?
Ephesians 2, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. That's our title this morning. We'll go through verses 11 through 13. Is everybody comfortable? I'll take that as a no. I just wanted you to look to make sure the air stayed on to where it's supposed to be. Because for some reason it says hold and it'll hold until I start teaching, and then suddenly it's like Lucifer goes in there and turns it off. So we just want to make sure. And our live feed isn't working this morning, so it's a good thing y'all didn't decide to stay home and try to watch it on your Facebook. I have no idea why it's not working. Do you figure it out in there, Jenny? I can hold on. Talk amongst yourselves.
You can preach longer now.
Preach longer because it's not live. No, I was actually going longer when the.
Oh, well, I think it's. I don't know if it's even working.
It says it is. I just asked because it seemed a little bit warm, but. Well, we got people who can't handle the wind in their face, and so try to accommodate everybody. You can ask if you guys can handle it back there. You can turn a fan on low, but don't turn up any higher because there's some people who don't like it. But yeah, you see, Dave's in the right spot back there, man. He's right by the air conditioner. He's got gloves on. Anyway, I try to be mindful of the fact that I'm kind of a hot-blooded fella anyway. And Jenny's the one who will, you know, hey, aren't you cold? And I've got nothing on but shorts and a T-shirt and drinking iced tea or something, you know. So, all right, let's get into the text. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Read that with me. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And I always want to say afar off, but same thing, I think. We're far off. And before we get into what I'm going to talk about, we've repeated that a few times, I think, this month. People out there who are lost don't think they're far off. Amen. And so when you're preaching the gospel, folks, you always got to start by helping them to understand that they are far off. They're as far off as they can be until they hit hell.
Right.
Think of that. A lost soul is as far away from God as they can be right now until the time they actually hit hell. And in verse 11 in our previous study demonstrates that Paul is writing to Gentile converts. I referred to that in our last study. As we're reading Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, a lot of times they cut off verse 10 because they feel like they're defending grace by not talking about works. And folks, you defend grace by pointing out that you're not saved by works at all, but it results in works, or you pretty much are in hot water with God and could be killed. Now, I know that's not going to sell a lot of books, but that's the truth. And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 isn't the gospel. I actually know somebody who took Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 and made little gospel tracts out of it, and that's what they gave to lost people. That's not the gospel. That's for saved people to understand what happens when you believe the gospel. And so you going around telling everybody Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 who are lost, you're not telling them the real, full gospel. How many of you know that if you don't preach that Christ died for sins, that you're not preaching the gospel?
Amen.
I can prove it. Just go to 1 Corinthians 15 and read the first four verses. And that's, I've shown in our Facebook group recently a couple of places where people think they're preaching the gospel and they don't even mention sin. And in one case, it didn't even mention Jesus. Just mention that God's holy, you're lost, admit you're a sinner, and receive salvation. No mention of Jesus, no mention of His death, His shed blood, His resurrection. That's not the gospel. Amen. And He's talked in our last message, He talked about the gospel, the result or what happened when you believe the gospel. He didn't preach the gospel because He's writing to a bunch of saved people. And here He even shows that He's writing to the uncircumcision. That's what you are. Actually, even if you were circumcised, Gentile men, you weren't circumcised according to the law. At least I've never met anybody who was. In order, you know, in our hospitals today, you take a little baby boy, and I think it's within a day or two, snip, and they're done. According to the law, you were supposed to wait to the eighth day. And I know this is going to sound weird. You probably didn't expect to hear this today. But, you know, I have a daughter who's pregnant, and we don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl. But I told her that if she decides to circumcise, because there's no biblical requirement, but if she decides to circumcise, she should do it on the eighth day. Not to keep the law, but because as a Gentile, I think there's a reason why God said on the eighth day to do it. I think if you're going to circumcise, you ought to do it on the eighth day because there was a reason why God said to do it on the eighth day. You don't believe me? Now go out and research it. You'll find that medically they've proven that if you're going to circumcise a baby, the eighth day is the optimum day to do it. Isn't that something? When you study the law, you'll find out that God had spiritual reasons for doing what He did and telling people to do what they did. But it was also just good advice in a lot of cases. For example, did you know the Bible actually taught that when you have to relieve yourself, you should take a little shovel and go outside the camp and bury it? That wasn't just so that the Jews could say, we do it different than you guys do. It was so that it was for hygienic reasons, for health reasons. And throughout history, you'll find Gentiles of all shapes and colors in tribes and nations who killed off whole portions of their population by not following that rule. And you read about some of the accounts of people in those days, you find out you would go through towns like Worthington back, you know, horse and buggy days. There would be a stench. Because everybody would just dump their what would normally be flushed in today's world, they'd dump it out in the street. I remember when I was a kid seeing a couple of kids playing in a ditch and their mom coming out frantic. Get out of that ditch. You can't be playing in there. You know why? It was open sewer. Right in their front yard. There's places today where some of you are going to be shocked to know this, but there's places today where you go visit and there's still open sewers. It's a violation of God's word if you're a Jew to do that, but it's a violation of common sense, and we've been doing it in America right up to very recent. And I had an aunt and uncle who had that situation down in southern Ohio, and I loved my aunt and uncle, but I hated going to their house because it always stunk. And that's why they'd flush and it would go right out into the open sewer out in the front of their houses, up and down the roads. How many of you knew that? Some of you have been city slickers all your life. You didn't even know it. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. That's the difference between the Gentile and the Jew through the centuries, is that the Jews, even the Christless Jews, if they follow the law, they were protected from a lot of the stuff that Gentiles have suffered through the years. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles. Now if you're saved today, you're neither Jew nor Gentile. You're in the body. The Bible says God is building a one new man. But still you recognize where you come from and where you are naturally in the flesh. You come from this in time past Gentiles who are called uncircumcision. Even today among Orthodox Jews, they'll refer to you as uncircumcision or the goyim. The goyim, same thing. And don't take it as an insult. It's simply true. It's not an insult. And that's the funniest thing about Americans. They'll want to be called something, and then within a few years, it's like it's an insult to call them that anymore. And I was supposed to be offended one time, and some guy called me a cracker. Like, I guess I'm a cracker. Here, Billy, you just redneck. Like, yeah, I am. Are you supposed to? Is that an insult? Are you trying to hurt my feelings? Because, as Charlie Daniels says, what this world needs is a few more rednecks. Amen. But you know what was it? It used to be, I think it was gay, then homosexual, and you know they keep changing what they want to be called. And I know the black folk with us today. I am I still allowed to say that? And it became African American, and now they're saying you can't call them that. There's groups that are saying you shouldn't call them that. Hey, folks, you know, let's all just be honest. You know, we're Gentiles to begin with. I don't care if you're black, white, red, yellow, Gentile. Amen? And the important thing isn't what I call you, although there are some words that we should avoid, but because it's blatant. But the important thing is, are you saved? Amen. Isn't what, how much was it, melatonin? Or is that what it's called? Melanin? What is it, melanin?
Melanin
in your skin? Just think about how stupid mankind is, you know? I mean, it's, a lot of them separate based on that. I went down to Florida, and there were some white people who wouldn't hang around with me because I got so dark. I had a relative one time, I'm not going to name names, but I had a relative one time tell my mom that she ought to keep me in out of the sun. I was getting so dark that people were going to think she might have a mixed baby. I'm like, and, you know, what if I think I look more Puerto Rican when I get real dark. I've told the stories. I'm down in Florida when my mustache used to be a little thinner, and I was down in Florida walking around. People would come up and start talking Spanish. I was like, hey, man, I'm from Southern Ohio. I have no idea what you're saying right now. They'd look shocked. You look like Jesus. And that's just an example, an Americanized example of what we're talking about here, of the uncircumcision and the circumcision, see? In America, we've got our divisions and this and that. Among Jews, especially at the time that the book of Ephesus was written, book to the church in Ephesus was written, it was about this division of uncircumcision and circumcision. And that division was destroyed by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And notice I mentioned the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. See, that's what even you circumcised Gentiles, you know, weren't circumcised correctly. So it's in a Jew's eyes, you're still uncircumcised because you weren't circumcised correctly. And Jewish men were circumcised by hands on the eighth day of their lives. Gentiles were not, as I said. And it's because our Gentile ancestors were barbarians. You see, really it comes down to, in the ancient world, you were either Jew, Greek, or barbarian. That's how they broke you down. And I don't think I have any Greek in me, although I love their food. Amen? Can I get an amen? You ever ate Greek food? Is it gyro or hyro or
gyro?
Okay. See, I don't even know how to pronounce their food. I just like to eat it. Yeah. And in this day, huh? Yes. Paco, she actually called me that one time. That's funny you knew that. Now, this is where you come from if you're a Gentile.
Fire and wind come from the sky, from the gods of the sky. But Crumb is your god. Crumb, and he lives in the earth. Once giants lived in the earth, Conan. And in the darkness of chaos, they fooled Crumb. And they took from him the enigma of steel. Crumb was angered, and the earth shook. And fire and wind struck down these giants, and they threw their bodies into the waters. But in their rage, The gods forgot the secret of steel and left it on the battlefield. And we who found it are just men. Not gods, not giants.
You hear that?
Just men. And the secret of steel has always carried with it a mystery. You must learn its riddle, Conan. You must learn its discipline. For no one, no one in this world can you trust. Not men, not women, not beasts. This you can trust.
That's where you come from. If you're a Gentile, you know, it could be one of many different flavors. But you go back to your ancestors, you'll find out they all had their gods, their mythologies, their wild superstitions. And that's why I'm being real when I tell you this. You need to understand where you come from. It makes you more thankful about being saved.
Hallelujah. Ultimately, they came from Noah, right?
Ultimately from Noah. And then if you look at what came out of Noah, you get Nimrod. And from Nimrod, you basically have a break among Gentiles in two groups. You have either Babylonian mystery religions, which is part, that's what he was describing there, or you have biblical Christianity. That's what it comes down to. I mean, you look at the Roman Catholic Church. It is no more nonsense than what you just heard. The Roman Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, the Mormons, all these cults and isms, the New Age movement, all the religions that Gentiles hold to outside of biblical Christianity, it's crazy. It's loony. I mean, I've known some serious, I'm talking serious Catholics and Orthodox, who they have a saint that they treat like a god for everything. I mean, if you get a cold, there's a certain saint. Any of you saved Catholics remember who you'd pray to if you got a cold? I think it was St. Michael that you'd pray to when you got on an elevator. And, yeah, Mark?
St. Christopher, when you're driving, put it on your dad.
You hear that? It's for real. That's what the Catholic Church teaches people, to pray to St. Christopher for safety when you're driving. And in a lot of cases, you find out that all they did was take the pagan gods and rename them. They'd take the pagan gods and rename them after someone in the Bible, an apostle or a saint or an angel. That's why when you drive around, you see these churches are named after all these people, like the St. Michael's, named after the Archangel Michael. And it's all pagan. You won't find any of that in the Bible. Greeks and barbarians were superstitious, is the word for it. All that I just mentioned, and all the things you can imagine about these false religions that you're aware of, it's superstition. I like to, sometimes I'll call it stupidstition. Or stuperstition. But you ever wonder, now this is going to hit most of the Gentiles you know. You ever wonder why people knock on wood? You ever seen that? I mean, I know some people, it's like daily, at least a couple of times a day, they'll say, knock on wood.
They say, take God takes out the evil spirit.
Yeah. What? And you ask them, you know, most of the time you ask them, why did you just knock on wood? What's that mean? I don't know. Just something you always do. They don't realize that's just an old pagan myth that they've brought with them. One I don't list here, but you hear, oh boy, Mother Nature looks angry today. Mother Nature? You think about the implications of that. We have a Father God, and he's supposed to be married to Mother Nature or something? Just paganism. You ever think about why people avoid the 13th floor? Think about that?
Friday the 13th.
Fridays that are on the 13th for some reason are really, really bad. I don't know why Tuesday the 13th doesn't bother people, but Friday the 13th, that's bad. Have you noticed that there's buildings that are 16 stories high, but they're actually only 15? Or wait a minute, did I get that backward? Yeah, it says 16, but they skip the 13th floor. They don't count that. You look on their elevator choices to take an elevator, and it'll go from 12 to 14. There's no floor. There is two. You're calling it the 14th, but it's the 13th. Ooh. So you better not stay on the 14th floor because you're actually on the 13th floor. Pagan superstition. Good luck. Good luck with that. Got your rabbit's foot? Your four-leaf clover? What in the world is that supposed to do for you? Yeah, I've got it, and I'm rubbing it, brother. I'm rubbing it. That poor rabbit. He did not die in vain. I'm using his foot for good luck. And exactly how can you explain to me exactly how that rubbing that rabbit's foot is going to help you? Explain that to me. Superstition. I've seen people break down and cry when they broke a mirror. I've thought about just bringing in some mirrors and breaking them for fun. But my life can be so disastrous at times, people just say, see, I told you. You know, like when your van won't start. Yeah, I saw you break that mirror, Brother Chad. And it's just beginning. You've got 7 years of bad luck. Yeah, amen. What about this? Yeah. Let me tell you something. If that were true, my mom wouldn't be able to walk. Because I've been stepping on cracks all my life. But according to the superstition, step on a crack, you break your mother's back. You heard that? I've seen people actually dodge cracks while they're walking. Yeah, and I won't list all these, but it's just coming to mind. You've seen people who won't walk under a ladder? You've seen people who, when they go in one door, they leave out the other? Seen people who have an umbrella and won't open it indoors? Black cats cross your path, turn around, and go the other way. I saw it one time. Driving down the road. Yeah, what is it? If you spill salt, you're supposed to throw some over your shoulder? All of it's nonsense. But I know people who live by that stuff. And that's where they get it. Pagan superstition. So when the Bible talks about you being Gentiles and uncircumcised, that's the kind of thing that the Jews look at the Gentiles like that. Like all this stuff we're talking about, that's what they think of. And because of Roman Catholicism, when they think of Christianity, they don't think of this. They think of two things. The Roman Catholic Church, which has slaughtered Jews by the millions. And they think of TBN. They think of Benny Hinn. They think of Paula White, Rod Parsley. So that's why it's so hard to talk to Jews about Christianity, to talk to them about Jesus. Because in their mind, they look at you and they immediately think of the Pope and Jan Crouch. That at that time, you were without Christ. And that's the problem. All this other stuff we talk about is symptomatic. But the crux issue is that Gentiles were without Christ. And Jews were waiting for the Christ in the time. Paul is referring back to the Old Testament here. And he's saying the Gentiles were without Christ. And he's talking about how that the Jews were waiting for the Christ. Gentiles were without Christ completely. Now, he describes as being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Now remember, there were some Gentiles who were brought in and became a part of this. Remember, and some of them are in Jesus' genealogy. Ruth, the Moabitess, is King David's grandmother. And then you have Rahab the harlot. But there are other stories and accounts. Moses married an Ethiopian after, I don't know what happened to Zipporah, to be honest with you. I've looked and we assume she died. But Moses married an Ethiopian woman. And then Abraham married Keturah. And, you know, so there were these Gentiles who did come into this thing. But unless you actually left your Gentile culture and world and came into Israel and became a Jew...